Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good evening, all you fans of women's football out there in listener land. I'm Coach Penn, and this is my show, Third and Long. I'm going to cover a bunch of stuff tonight. Hopefully, I'll be able to fit it all within the hour. We are going to cover some women's football issues first. There's lots of exciting things going on, even if neither website for the leagues are announcing anything. There's lots of things that's going on. For those of you that are listening, you can always hop on the internet and see the little chat available button to the top right. Click in and hop in the boards and ask questions, throw your opinion out there and say, hey, I got something to say. I want to call in. I'll ask you for your area code and you can call in. The number is 347-826-7278, and every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I will be here. So if you catch the show in replay, either through the WFBTalkContinues.com website or listening through one of the other areas that play my show. We are going to cover a couple things with women's football. First, like I said, we are going to talk to the leading rushers of both leagues. I have Lakeisha Johnson from the Pittsburgh Power calling in a couple minutes. She will be chatting it up. I have some questions for her. And you all can get into the mind of a leading rusher. The other person we will have on tonight is Monique Zaki. She is the leading rusher of the IWFL. She actually plays on my team, so that should be interesting enough. The second part of our show will actually involve Coach Duncan, the head coach of the LA Amazons. He actually has a football camp coming up in a little less than a month, so I'm going to get him on here, talk to my old friend, let him sell his camp idea, and hopefully everybody can use it to their advantage. Maybe talk to Duncan about how he did it, what his plans are, and how successful it was after he does it. After I get done with those three snippets, we're going to dive right into the college football and pro football world. Both of them are well underway. We had our first week of pro football completed, and that was, I don't know, somewhat exciting. There were a lot of blowouts. It seems the parity that was once in the league is now gone. Hopefully it was just first week and a lot of new people breaking into the new systems and trying to coordinate the game plans. I'm hoping it was that because there seems to be, from top to bottom, the most amount of parity that there's been in a long time. I am excited about college football because just like every year, on a week-to-week basis, you never know who's going to win or lose. So once we hit those two discussions towards the second half of the show, I want everybody's opinions and loyalty for your school or your alma mater to be shown. You know, let me know who you're rooting for, what games you think's going to maybe twist a little bit differently than the prognosticators predict. I have predicted two upsets in a row. Last week I actually got all sly and actually replayed my prediction of UCLA upset in Tennessee. Well, I didn't actually call any upsets last week. I just called one upset alert, and that upset alert actually happened. Vanderbilt beat South Carolina on Thursday night. So that was pretty nice. Pops says hello. Hello, Pops. How you doing? Also, East Carolina, I said that wasn't necessarily an upset alert because everybody was basically underestimated in East Carolina. And now they own, what, three states? They own Carolina. There's no state called East Carolina, so I'm not really sure if they're north or south. Maybe next time I'll research that for you. Those of you know, go ahead. And now they own Virginia, and they own West Virginia after beating, you know, Virginia Tech and West Virginia. At least it's funny because the whole who's the worst league, ACC or Big East, and, well, at least Virginia Tech kept up with East Carolina. West Virginia didn't even score a touchdown, and they're supposed to have the Heisman hopeful Pat White, who had a just horrendous game. There was a lot of little film in that one I wanted to chop up and show my players, you never do this, when he had that fumble on the sideline because he was reaching for the first down. If you're going to go out of bounds, take the ball with you. Don't leave it in the field of play for some big lineman to go, look, ball, Mom. Because that's basically what the guy did. He picked up the ball and said, what do I do now? and nobody blew the whistle, and he still just stood there. I thought that was quite humorous. Even people in college don't know. I don't feel so bad when, you know, that stuff happens on my games now. So let me give you a short introduction to what I'm going to be discussing with the leading rushers of both leagues. I basically contacted them last week and told them about the premise for what show I wanted to do, and they were both cool about it. So I sent them a bunch of questions so they wouldn't feel totally overwhelmed about what they were going to be asked. But basically I wanted to share with my listeners what it takes, not only to be, I guess you could say, a leading rusher, but a very good player. And both of these ladies, I believe, exert and represent everything that we need in college, in women's football to take it to the next level. We need athletes that are willing to sacrifice for team and sport to push it forward. So hopefully, Lakeisha is my first call. She will be calling in soon. Robin is on the switchboard tonight. BJ is listening because she's actually at a football game. So, hello, BJ. Hope you're enjoying yourself. Can't just do one thing at a time. I know you're probably listening and watching the game, so total confusion will, you know, happen. Let's go and tell Robin that the 85 number is what I'm looking for. She just came on, so go ahead and unmute her, and I'll welcome her to the show. Well, while I'm waiting for that, I want to welcome everybody that is listening. I see Chopper's on. Let me see who else is on. I saw Pops is on. So hi, Chopper. We got a guest on. Don't know who the guest is. If you want to chat in there and say, hey, I'm there.
Hey, this is Lakeisha.
John. Hey, Lakeisha. It's Coach Ben. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you, Coach Ben?
I am actually wonderful. I'm sitting here on my porch in Long Beach enjoying the nice, cool, comfortable weather. And I know you're back on the East Coast, so I really appreciate you staying up late for me.
No, not
being on my show.
Not a
well,
problem.
Well, congratulations on, first of all, making the playoffs. I know you lost like we did in the first round, right?
Yeah, we did.
I was a heartbreaker to Kentucky.
Yeah, close game, you know, well played.
Was it 6-0?
Yeah, it was 6-0.
Oh, yeah. I was kind of hoping to see, after Kentucky beat you guys, and I was really hoping to see them against the Amazon since they're right up the road, and then they forfeited because it was just too much. So I was really disappointed in that, but, I mean, I think that eventually we'll get there, and I hope that we will. So,
okay.
So do you have a chance to look over those questions I sent you?
Yeah, I did.
All right, so you're not totally unprepared. Let me go through out there, and I'll probably throw some follow-up questions when I hear your response, but I'm sure I know some of the responses going because I'm already getting a response back from Monique from her responses, and I'm sure that to be as dominating as both of you are, you're probably pretty similar. So let's start with question number one. How does it feel to be the league leader in rushing in no less a sport that most teams run 90% of the time? So everybody's basically set up to stop the run, yet you carried the ball 225 times for 2,700 yards. And that's just amazing, first off. So congratulations on averaging 12.1 yards a carry. But how do you do that?
Well, you have a good line in front of you. First off, have enough people that's willing to sacrifice their body when they see me coming. So, I mean, that's a big ups to them for being able to do that. And I have had a great team around me that that allowed me just to do what I need to do to help us win.
Well, cool. How much your coaching staff? How much were they involved in not just teaching you to be a running back, but honing your skills?
Well, I came pretty much from an athletic background and joined Pensacola Power, I want to say about this is my third year, maybe fourth. Kind of get confused there. But,
yes, it does. It does kind of all wind in together after a while.
So basically, they just, had me watching film. When our quarterback was out, I had the coaches sitting there handing me the ball, teaching me basically when to cut, where to cut. Basically critiquing everything I'd done in the previous game or something I did in practice, trying to help me get better and hopefully just beat the defenders before they can get to the spot that I'm trying to get to.
Well, that's awesome that you actually watch film and understand it, because that is something that me as a coach find it very hard that the football players don't understand the difference between watching film and watching games. Because most of the players that I come across are always like, oh, that was a huge hit. Oh, look at that block. Oh, I'm like, no, that's not what you're looking for. This is film. Look at yourself and look what you're doing wrong. We know what you're doing right. It obviously worked. But it's good to hear that you watch film. So since you talked about, you know, working with the coaches on film and handoffs and what where your reads were, how much work overall was there in getting your body and mind to the level where you could just dominate the stats like that?
Basically, it just basically came down to so many things happened with our team this year, with losing a quarterback and losing a lot of people. So in different aspects, I was asked by my team and my teammates to step up and do whatever I could to help us win. And as everybody knows, we didn't start off as well as we usually do. We actually lost our first two games. And
yeah, I saw that. I was like very surprised. I was like, wow, they lost the first two and then went 6-0 the rest of the season. So that was impressive.
Yeah, well, you know, when you have new people and, you know, you have injuries, I was just happy to see people come out, you know, and try out for the team, because it gets kind of, you know, sparingly over the years that
yes,
we don't get as many people. But actually, it's so odd that last year when I played, I weighed about 240, and this year I was down to 190. And
wow. That's two sacks of potatoes you lost.
Yeah, my coaches, they were begging me to gain at least 10 more pounds. My coach was like, please don't lose any more weight.
Well, I know that our running back was a smaller running back. Like, I didn't read your size dimensions, but how tall are you then?
I am 5'10 and a half.
Okay, so you're a taller running back. I mean, that's NFL size right there. If you were 5'10 and a half, just go ahead and round that. Everybody in the NFL does. 5'11 and 220, 210, I mean, that's NFL size right there. So you're playing at 5'11, 190. I would say you do need to put on 10 pounds. If you're on my team, that's what I would be telling you. But, I mean, our running back, she's 5'6", and she's maybe 150. So, I mean, it's just it's two different types of running backs, but it's amazing to think that you had to take over for quarterback as well, and then also be a running back. So that's very something to be proud of. So congratulations on doing that and doing what it takes to, you know, lead your team to win.
Thank you. You know, it's a collective effort from everybody, from them believing in me to, you know, be able to do whatever I had to do. I mean,
you know, being in women's football, that some people just don't want to step up. They want to play where they want to play, and they aren't going to listen to anybody on anything. They just, you know, I don't care what the team needs. This is why I'm playing football. I paid you, remember?
Hey,
so,
that's in all sports, not just football now.
Yeah, well, it seems maybe because I've only been doing this 8 years. It just seems to me like, don't you want to win? And so... So how strenuous is your practice load and routine because of you basically touching the ball 98% of the time on during the games?
Pretty much. They pretty much took it a little light on me somewhat until because, you know, I get into the point where I basically have practice mode and I have game mode. And practice mode, pretty much, you know, I'm kind of lenient on hitting people or trying to basically run over people. And, hey, sometimes it gets... Hey, you hit me wrong, then I'm getting into game mode in practice.
That is quite understandable. That's funny, though.
But,
so how do you think, I think it's funny that you have a practice in game mode, because the interview that I have later with Monique, is she basically said the exact same thing. She's like, no matter how much I practice, games are totally different. So it's a different mentality, and it's nice to know that you have that, because a lot of the females don't understand that practice is a different type of mentality. When we say 100%, it's 100 practice percent. It's not 100 game percent. So it's fun because, you know, because numbers are small, we don't want to risk injury at practice, but we do need everybody working at the same level.
Exactly. Well, I had to learn that the hard way.
I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm glad you did.
I learned it the hard way after a couple of years.
Yeah. So how do you think your team views you and the effort you put forward toward the team, your teammates, you know?
Oh, my teammates love me. Basically, they pretty much have confidence that whenever I'm on the field, that we always have a chance to win, don't matter who we're playing. And, you know, I don't say very much, but when I do say something, everybody's, you know, all ears, because they want to know what it is that I see that they may not see. You know, everybody's constructive criticism. We all take it really well, and, you know, it doesn't matter who I am. If someone sees something I'm not doing, they're quick to grab me by the collar and say, hey, you know, you need to cut quicker, or this, my side's open, I'm going to block for you, you know. So that pretty much helps a lot in just having faith in each other, you know.
That's great to hear. It's good to hear there's a lot of teamwork on your team. That's very nice to know about the Pensacola Power. So what actually got you into football?
It's so odd. I actually I played basketball, as everyone knows, for Auburn, and I was doing a merchandising job in Pensacola. I actually had from the border of Louisiana and Texas to Panama City, Florida. That was my area. And I happened to be in Pensacola one evening eating dinner with a friend. And a former running back of Pensacola, Dana Wirt, walked up to my table. And she's like, hey, you're a pretty big girl. You want to play football? And that's how I started. And it was so
crazy. That's how it starts in a lot of cases, yes. Hey,
I was actually living in Baton Rouge at the time. And I was driving back and forth to practice three times a week, trying to get here for practice. And I just drive back to Baton Rouge right after practice, and able to go to work. And,
so did you originally start off a running back?
No, I started off as a linebacker.
And how did you like that?
Hey, just looking at the fear in people's eyes, knowing I'm coming, because I was actually quicker then.
You're quicker then. Okay, you lost a step, but you still have 2,700 yards rushing. I'm scared already. Glad it took a while to notice that then. Well, which position do you enjoy more?
Well, I don't think anyone who's on offense likes getting hit.
Yeah,
but,
I was going to say, I was like, I know this answer, but I'm going to ask it anyways.
I actually did enjoy being on offense. I mean, basically having that kind of control to, you know, be that person if my team needs me. As on defense, your job is to stop the other team. On offense, your job is to score. So to be on that side and actually have that control and have that mindset to say, hey, I can take over this game right now and help my team win, you know, to have that mentality to tell my team, hey, you block for me and it's gone. We're winning. All I need you to do is block. That is a feeling like no other, basically.
Yeah, well, you basically just answered my last two questions in that statement, so I don't need to go there. But I don't know if you have your computer open right now, but Chopper is talking about you, and he's talking all kinds of smack. Let me quote you. He's like, Lakeisha is one of the best athletes I've ever seen in women's football. So that's the smack he had to talk about you. Not bad right there, huh?
No, that's not bad. No.
He also had a question for you. He said, what's your plans for next year, the future of the Power? Is everything still good and for next year and, you know, the Gulf Coast and all that fun stuff?
Honestly, I have no idea at this point. We do have a meeting coming up really soon, actually, and I think that's when they're going to tell us what's to come. And, hey, if worst-case scenario, the team folds, then I will be looking for a new team because I don't want to give up football.
Southern California is a beautiful place to visit, and it's even more beautiful when – live here. I mean, seriously, right now I'm on my porch, 70 degrees, it's still blue skies, I have people walking their dogs and strolling their kids 3 blocks away from the beach, so, you know, not trying to entice you or anything, you know, because, I mean, I don't need a double-headed running back combo that can dominate the league and make coaching easier on me. I mean, that's just in the back of my mind anywhere, so. But, yeah, I want to thank you for being on the show. I mean, a pleasure to talk to. And I know that because you're close to Tennessee, all these Tennesseans will try and court you if something does happen with the Power. But I actually grew up in St. Augustine, so
okay.
You know where that is. And then I went to school at Florida State.
Okay.
Yeah, my little sister was in the Navy, so she spent how many years over there in Pensacola? That's what I was wondering if you were – you know, associated with the military at all, being in Pensacola, but now that I know it's kind of a different business, I understand. Well, but once again, congratulations, and I'm glad to hear
Thanks
that
so
you're a football player and not just a natural athlete. That's just so wonderful to hear because, I mean, I've been doing this for so long, and some people just get by on pure talent and athleticism. And the fact that you're studying plays and being told when to cut and, you know, block and set up your blocks is just nice to know that you're an actual football player who's a student of the game. So thank you for being that, and
thank
you for
having
being on my show.
Not a problem. Thank you so much.
You enjoy your off season. Let all your wounds heal up, but don't forget to work your muscles out, okay?
Okie dokie. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night, and thanks for being on my show again.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, fans, that was Lakeisha Johnson, the leading rusher for the Pensacola Power of the NWFA. Can you believe that? 2,725 yards in 9 games. 28 touchdowns. Her long one was 97. I don't think I can run 97 yards when somebody's chasing me. I mean, I have to be a policeman or something. Just because I don't think somebody in a football helmet and pads is going to help. I said, I'd rather hit you so my running could be done. But 225 carries. Now, they made a big deal a couple years ago when Larry Johnson had like 450 carries. Well, that's a 16-game season. We play 8-game seasons. She had a playoff game, so that was 9. But if you were to extrapolate 225 over a 16-game season, she gets just as many carries as Larry Johnson. So she takes a beating. And like you said, like you heard, her quarterback, you know, folded. And her quarterback got hurt, and, I mean, she was one of six throwing, and then Lakeisha had to play quarterback too. I saw that her stats were pretty good passing. I mean, it's obviously good for a running back and not bad for a regular quarterback on any team. So, but, yeah, it's funny I made that comment about, you know, running 97 yards. Well, Pops over here is telling me that he would need oxygen after 45. So at least I know that I could beat him in a sprint. So that's nice to hear. Let's move on to the next part of the show. When Coach Duncan called in, Robin, would you please put him through and let me know that you're putting him through? Once again, I believe he's a 909. He could very well be a private number, so it could come up as blocked. So right now, we will move on to the interview with Monique Zaki, the leading rusher of the IWFL. Now, this interview is going to be quite unique because beside me is going to be the interview. I don't have an extra phone today, so we're going to try and put my phone on speakerphone and hopefully it will work. Let me go ahead and try that right now. And everybody listening, tell me if you can still hear me. Everybody still hear me out there? Somebody pop up on the thing and say they can still hear me. Okay, they can still hear me. So right now we're going to go with Monique Zaki and the fact that she led the IWFL in rushing yards with 1,600 yards in 9 games. She averaged 10 yards a carry with 22 touchdowns, but she only did it on 166 carries, so she didn't take as much of a beating, but she did carry the ball quite a bit. So the block number popped up, so we're going to put her on hold for a second because Duncan is now on. We'll come back to her since she doesn't have a time schedule. And let me see. Is it better now? Everybody can hear me? So go ahead and put the block number through and let me know when it's unmuted. It's unmuted. Coach Duncan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Josh.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. I just got out of practice.
Got out of practice. Look at that. It's a year-round sport and job and volunteer position for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's rough. It's really rough. It takes all your time.
It takes all your time, but you love giving it, don't you?
Yes, I do. I love football.
Just making sure. Just making sure. You know, let me give a little background for the people that are out there. Coach Duncan and I both started coaching women's football back in 2002. I joined with the Long Beach Aftershock, and he, of course, is you own and head coach of the Amazons, correct, sir?
Right.
All right, so we both started in 2002, and we've had a budding relationship ever since. We like to screw with each other, and a lot of people, I don't think we get along, but I think we get along just fine. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, we're fine. We get along with
that.
We needle each other, but it's okay.
Yeah. So the reason I have Coach Duncan on the show tonight is because he actually has a women's football camp coming up. It's very different from the women's football camp and conference that Dion is hosting. So let's go ahead and let Coach Duncan introduce himself and get a little bit of his background out there. I know I threw something out there. And then I'll ask him some questions regarding his camp. So go ahead and take the floor, Coach Duncan.
Hello, everyone. My name is Aubrey Duncan. I'm the head coach of the Los Angeles Amazons. I have been since 2002. I'm also the owner of the team. And we've been there since 2002. I think Dallas came in there that time at that time, and I think the Long Beach Aftershocks came in at the same time. And one other team in Phoenix came in at the same time, too. So there was four teams out on the West Coast at the time that came in. So that's where I am as far as where we've been, as far as the Amazons, how long we've been here. We've been here, this is our eighth season coming up, so we've been there seven seasons as of this year. And we're just taking it slow. We've been close. We haven't got there yet. But before I leave, I want to get there. So I'm good for two or three more years.
Two or three more, huh?
Yeah, two or three more.
You don't want to be Bobby Bowden or Joe Paul out there on the sideline, do you?
Well, yeah, that's true. I want to win a championship before I resign and retire.
Well, if you win a championship and you retire immediately, I'm going to drive up to La Puente and slap you. Because I want to be around when the leagues merge and then we get to play each other and really have a little budding rivalry with our close proximity teams.
Because
we have one without even playing each other, and it's awesome.
That's true. We're close.
But since you're not going to toot your own horn, I'm going to toot your horn for you. You actually made it to the conference championship game this year, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I was actually there. I try and make as many Amazon games as possible because I am a supporter of women's football, and I really don't care what league they're in. If it's close, I think it's important to support it if you believe in it. I've seen you at a couple of my games during your bye weekend, so I thank you for that. But that was a great game with you in Houston. So I think that team that does nothing but build women's football, and I know that you probably have some sour taste in your mouth from that game because it was so close and you were almost there, unlike me, where we just got basically our asses handed to us.
True.
You were actually there and close and, you know, one game away from the championship, and, you know, based on the result that Houston did to Western Michigan, I mean, you probably would have had a great chance at winning the championship. So
yes, we would have.
Let's go.
Go ahead.
Okay, but I want to delve into your women's football camp. So on your website, which is LAAmazons.com, for everybody out there that's unfamiliar, everybody listening in the Southern California district, October 10th or 11th and 12th, it's Saturday, Sunday, from 9 a.m. to 2:30 at Miguel Contreras High School, there's going to be a football camp. And who is this football camp for?
The football camp, that's Miguel Contreras High School on Lucas 322 South Lucas Avenue in Los Angeles, California. And Josh, may I say that's where we'll be playing our home games from now on. It's a brand new high school, a year old.
Oh, really? I was wondering why you weren't using Bassett.
Well, we need to move downtown L.A., so next year that's where we're going to go. Hopefully, if nothing happened, that's where we'll be at Miguel.
Well, good. It's a shorter trip for me, so
well,
thanks.
Yeah,
appreciate it. I know you were thinking about me, so.
It's a brand new turf field. A very secluded field and stadium, underground, indoor, outdoor, everything. It's just beautiful. That's pretty much where we're going to play. And then the camp, as far as the camp, is the first annual women's football fundamental camp. I've always wanted to do this, and hopefully it'll be successful. If we got 20 people, I'll be happy. It's just basically we're going to work on fundamentals, agilities and stuff like that, which most of the girls in women's football, most women's football, there is a lack of agilities and fundamentals.
Yes, there is. I will agree with you there.
And I think fundamentals is the number one goal for me every year. I mean, I know it's a little bit boring, but it's a thing.
And I don't understand why the players don't get it. I know it's boring, but if you can master that, you will win every game if you know the fundamentals.
That is so true. You're going to win them. If you have fundamentals, you're going to be a good player. It's that simple. So my thing is, it's the bottom line is it's fundamentals, agilities, and we're going to go over and over and over and over these things. I'm not going to change anyone as far as what they do if they don't want to be changed, but we can give them a little education on the other side also. You know, I'm not trying to take any. It's open to anyone that wants to come as far as players are concerned. You know, basically they're going to get a DVD. And a T-shirt to go with the camp. So they'll get to see themselves. They get this DVD. If I can't get it to them before they go, I will make sure we mail it out to them. So
that's good to hear. I was wondering. I was wondering what all you got, Dorne, because I had the Canvas, $55. If you pre-register early on their website. Now, Robin over here is mentioning that there's no listing for the O-line. You have 2 days that you're doing, drills and fundamentals, and then offense defense. What are the breakdowns for that first day, drills and fundamentals? What groups are you breaking down to?
Well, basically, we're going to break them down in all groups. There is offensive line also. It's just a misprint. We didn't get that in, and I'm very sorry. I apologize for that. But we will have O-line, D-line, and everything else you see there, quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, the O-line blocking, learning how to trap and all that other stuff, running backs, learning how to run ball, run low, being focused wide open to know where they're going, how to hold a ball, make sure you hold a ball. You can never go over that enough.
Never.
Quarterback coaches, wide receivers, we're going to run routes. And even though some other teams' routes are different, basically.
The basics are there.
The basic routes is what we'll go over, pretty much where my high school is. We go 0 through 9.
Yeah, the tree, basically.
Right. And we'll go over routes and really work on how to plant that outside foot, how to get the weight over your knees when you're breaking and stuff like that. It's just so important. And then after that, we got to work on getting the ball. So we're not going to play with the ball for the first half of the day. It's going to be without the ball as far as receivers.
That's what I did, you know, and I really pissed off a lot of players 2 years ago when I basically – we practice usually start in February for April's base season because you get 2 full months to practice. Well, we started in January because – we basically spent the whole month of January. We never even brought a ball out to practice.
Right.
They had to. We worked fundamentals and drills for a whole month, and they hated it. And I was like, "You're going to be the best technique team out there, though." And but they were so pissed they didn't listen, and that was very frustrating. And last year I had to alter it, as I do every year.
Right.
So, but Robin wants to say, go ahead.
Just to throw this at you, maybe someone's listening. I coach high school football now, and it's a lot of work. That is a lot of work. And in our spring football, we did have 7-on-7, but we didn't touch the football for the first 10 days. We didn't touch it. It was all about agilities and fundamentals. So that's where it's a great thing. Sometimes I know they want to catch the ball, but to me, you know, fundamentals and agilities is everything. And I mean,
you got to know how to keep your balance
and
run the proper route before the ball even gets there. There's so many things you have to do before you can learn how to catch. And
it's
everybody wants to just score touchdowns and catch the ball and make huge tackles.
Right.
And it's like, well, you know how that happens. You got to practice all this other crap first.
Right.
And it's fun, you know, teaching women and high school. I mean, eventually I want to volunteer at high schools so I can get into college, but I'm just excited that you're doing this in the LA area because I don't know what our plans as a team are that weekend, but I know that we have a fundraiser coming up, and I purposely scheduled it the week before so that we would not conflict with your football camp. So everybody that says that, you know, I don't agree with camps and all this crap, they can all stick it up there I think it's a great thing. I just think some people take it a little too far sometimes, and we need to stick with the basics and build from what we have and move forward. And I think this camp that you're doing is a great thing, and congratulations, and thank you for women's football for doing it.
I appreciate it, too. It's good to have camps, and like you said, my thing is if you don't have the basics, if you don't have the base, which I call a good stance, I don't care what position you play, you're not going to play it well. You have to have a base. And to me, we talk about quarterbacks having a base. Well, every single player on the team needs
every
to have
position.
A base.
Yeah, every position, and they all have different bases too.
Right.
And it's like if you can master two of them, you're just a huge asset to the team.
It's a plus, right.
Well, BJ is actually listening, and she just texted me, and she's wondering if you have a sponsored hotel that people can go to if they want to come and travel from out of town. Because I know you expect basically this to be a local thing, but you know, now that women's football, hey, we have 2 radio shows now, mine and the ladies on Sunday. So I mean, we're growing. Come on.
Well, BJ, no, we don't have a hotel. It is downtown LA, and there are plenty of hotels downtown LA. I live in Altadena, Pasadena, California. That is close, but I can do some research if she wants to know. It wouldn't take me.
Yeah, we don't. It's not like we're our hotels downtown are gonna be booked because of the NFL team that we have or anything, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. We don't have one.
Yeah, it is very centrally located. It's on the very top of LA, right downtown.
Well, I'm going to look that up because I want to see where it is because I need to know where I'm going next year when we hopefully have our bye weeks on different weeks.
Yeah.
So that'll be pretty cool.
Right. It is a beautiful stadium there. It's on top of the hill. Actually, it's higher than Dodger Stadium, so it's right up over top of the hill.
Oh, wow. That's going to be crazy. You're going to have to get used to the altitude like New Mexico again. Thanks.
Yeah, I think the camps, Josh, as far as I'm concerned, I think anyone doing a camp is a plus. I think we really should stay basic with the young ladies and build from there, you know. So, you know, you just build from there. Some of our players, when they first came to us, they weren't good players at all. And now they're some of our top players after a year or
two.
Well,
that's what I just had a rookie come over to my house tonight to learn how to do lift weights and stuff like that.
Exactly.
And, I mean, this girl right here, she played basketball her whole life, and I'm like, football's a different sport. And
yeah.
She's like, I know. I taught her the four basic agilities that
right.
every team does. You know, high knees, butt kickers, karaoke, and shuffling.
Right.
And she was like, oh, my gosh, that's going to take forever to get. Everything's different than basketball. I was like, you know, it is. Football's a different sport. And if you don't have a low center of gravity and good base, you're basically a dead body on the field.
Right. Football is a gladiator sport.
It's
gladiator sport. If you don't know what that means, you need to look it up. But basketball is a contact sport, but football is a gladiator sport. You take it down, and it's down. It's supposed to stay down, but football, to me, is a gladiator sport. Like I said, basketball.
Well, Coach, I want to thank you for being on the show, and thank you for having a women's football camp in our area and being brave enough to put one on. I do simple clinics, but you're actually taking a step farther, and I congratulate and thank you on that. And hopefully I'll have you on the show sooner so we can talk about some off-season stuff that we both do, okay?
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff I can get with you on that.
All right, well, don't get too overwhelmed with, you know, your high school coaching job right now, okay?
Well,
you gotta
be
good.
I know. It's a tough one. It really is.
You gotta be fresh for women's football because these women, they need the attention, remember?
Well, Josh, you know something? We talked about clinics and stuff like that. I've been away from boys football for eight years now. And I'm learning a lot. That I did miss, and I think they're learning from me and coaches, and I'm learning a lot from them, the old school, the new school. It all comes out to be the same, the bottom line.
Yes, it does.
It's great. It's you know, I'm serious about that. The old school, they say this, they say this, but it all turns out to be the same. You know, you run the same defenses, and you run the same
offense. The same stuff. It's just everything moves a little bit faster now, and you can
exactly. –
that's about it. I mean, I think the game moves faster, but nothing really has changed.
Right. You change names. So. You change names of things.
Yeah, the only thing that changed is the names of teams and the names on the back of the jerseys, right?
You still have to have a player out there on the field.
Yep. So, well, I appreciate it, Coach,
okay.
And you have a good night, sir.
No problem, Josh. Thank you a lot.
Yeah. All right. That was Coach Duncan, head coach of the Amazons here in L.A., and he has that Women's Football Fundamental Camp coming up next month. So thank you for being on the show. Anybody that is in the area or is unfamiliar with Coach Duncan and his team, LAAmazons.com. And, yes, it'll look weird when you type it in because it's L.A., and then you start with another A again. Don't use the same A for L.A. and Amazons. They don't merge. They are two separate words. All right, so thank you for that. I've got two guests on. Now we're going to go to that third guest that's been sitting here patiently waiting. I'm going to go back to speakerphone. I apologize if it sounds far away. I'll try a little something different, but it should be a little – it's going to sound different, okay? So hold on a second. Let me speakerphone it. It didn't look like speaker came on. Hold on. Speaker. All right, there's the speakerphone. Everybody got me? Oh, great. Well, the chat board just died, so give me a second, and I'll start and go ahead with the questions and answers section with Monique Zaki, the IWFL rushing leader. So our first question is, how does it feel to be the leading leader in rushing yards in a league, no less, that concentrates on running?
First off, I don't like being called Monique. I like being called Wheels. Secondly, I've got a touch of laryngitis, so please excuse my voice. It feels amazing. I think it's a great accomplishment as a team. I wouldn't have had those yards if it weren't for each and every person on offense. Whether it's the quarterback getting the ball to me or the O-line holding people long enough so my fullback can plow over people while the tight end and as well as the receivers are running their blip-blip off blocking downfield. I don't really see this as an individual effort, but it still feels amazing.
Well, that's great to hear. You're giving your credit towards your team, and that's always wonderful that you know that the accomplishment is from a team effort and not just yours. So how much work was involved in getting your mind and body to this level?
Most of the time, I would just tell myself that I could do it. Not to give up, because everyone here putting the game, putting the same effort into each and every play. If I give up, what would stop my team from giving up?
Very well put. That's awesome. That's very nice to hear that you push yourself so that everybody else is, you know, looking to you for an example. How strenuous is your practice, load, and or routine?
Well, as the other young lady said, nothing is as strenuous as games. No matter how hard you practice, games always top it.
Well, there you go. All right, how do you think your team views you and your effort for the team?
I have no idea. I should ask them. I hope in the same way I view their effort.
All right, so let me see. What are you thankful for as a running back and having this league-leading rushing title?
That I have a team to back me up. That if I couldn't pull through at a certain point in the game, that someone else always stepped up to the plate. I was never left to fend for myself.
Well, what got you into football?
Oh, my brothers. They were both football players. They're both older than me. So I thought it was kind of the cool thing to do, play football, that is. I've been into it since I was a kid. It was my first sport and my favorite sport.
Did you start off as a running back?
No, my first year I played as a defensive back, just half the year. And then I moved to running back.
Okay, so took a little bit, but you found your calling, sort of like Lakeisha. You played linebacker, now you're playing running back. With the pounding that a running back takes and the focus on every team being you, how do you enjoy yourself?
Football is a competitive sport, and in the end, it is a sport. Sports are supposed to be fun, even though a lot of it is serious, and there is a lot of hard work that goes into it. I'm definitely not trying to say that it's fun to lose. It definitely is not fun to lose. But the fun comes after you win. During a game, it's all business. It's serious. And then after, the smiles come.
Spoken like you, that's for sure. Smiling after the game because we won, and then not worrying about your wounds because the scoreboard was just crazy. So what is enjoyable about the game to you?
The sport. I love football. Even with the poundings, still feels good knowing that we just broke someone else's defense because our offense was stronger.
Well, I would like to thank you for being on the show tonight. I'll get that right this time. For those of you who are confused about what just happened, don't worry. It's an inside joke. I'm going to put my headset back on, so give me a second.
All right, can everybody hear me?
And hopefully everybody can hear me now. That was Monique Zakis filling in right now for the leading rusher of the IWFL, and those were her responses to the questions I had. Now, quickly in the last 15 minutes, I want to go over some of the stuff that people have been talking on about the board right now. Pops and Chopper are talking about stuff, and I can't really repeat it, so I'm not going to put that out there right now. But just so you know, everybody that's listening to the show live, if you go to the website and you're listening, you can actually push the chat available button and hop in the room with everybody else that's in here listening, and they can kind of go over ideas, rumors, stuff like that, that they may have heard or know for sure. I know rumors all the time, like Houston Energy joining the IWFL. I knew a long time ago, but I wasn't allowed to say anything. And then there's also two other teams right now that are looking to join one of the leagues or have already joined, and there's rumors going on about that. There's all kinds of talk on the message boards, and you never really know what to believe or what is being said and who it's coming from. So if you really want to know, contact the people that are in the know. Every team has a contact, and you can tell when you go to the sites if there are new teams or not, because I just went to the NWFA website today, and there are teams that are no longer on that website. So if you remember the teams or are smart enough to go to Boo's site, you can actually find out what teams were listed in there and see which ones were.
Oh, can you hear me now? I can't believe nobody said anything. I couldn't hear me. So I had some dead time. Sorry for that. Let's say that if you actually go to the websites, like the NWFA right now, you can go on there and actually see that there are teams missing from their website. There are teams that were there last week that aren't there now. So if you actually checked out Boo's website, you could probably find what teams were listed at the beginning of the year and what teams aren't now, and know which ones are going back and forth or have folded and have, you know, moved on to another league. You know, there's all kinds of research that you can do to basically out some of the rumors you hear. So there's no reason to cause rumors and innuendos out there when you can actually just look and not be lazy. But now that I've got those conversations done, let's move on to college football. It doesn't look like I'll be able to get to NFL. I only got like 15 minutes left, but we'll see. College football. Last weekend was the most boring weekend of college football I've ever seen in my existence as a college football fan. And I've been a college football fan since I was very, very young. There were absolutely no enticing games. There were some good games played, but they weren't enticing games. Anybody here that actually said that San Diego State and Notre Dame would have been a close game, I would have laughed at you because I would have thought San Diego State was going to kill them. Okay. San Diego State kind of actually did play better than Notre Dame. Notre Dame just finally woke up and said, oh, yeah, we're the one in gold helmets, and then eventually won, and it wasn't a great victory. But we'll be able to see this week with Michigan and Notre Dame. Is it this week? I believe it's this week Michigan and Notre Dame get to tassel together and find out what they both have. That should be interesting. But here are some of the games I got on my queue for this Saturday. Once again, like I said, I called the Vandy game as an upset again, so that's two in a row. East Carolina, while it may have been an upset, I didn't consider it an upset because people just underestimated East Carolina. They were good last year. They're better this year. Starts tomorrow night. We actually are blessed with Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night football this week. Thank you, ESPN. I can't wait till the Ocho comes out, and then I'll have it, 7 days a week, and I will have no life, and my girlfriend will just say, I guess we're going to be football, people the rest of our lives. Well, we already are. North Carolina at Rutgers tomorrow night. The battle of the Big East and ACC. Which league is going to be the worst league? I'm really hoping the ACC is number two, but, I don't know. I think Rutgers might have an advantage here. Butch Davis has been talking lots of talk, and his players have been talking lots of crap about how good they're going to be this year, and then, they've barely beaten some division. Was it FCS, the championship, and FBS is the bowls, whatever. So, Friday night's a big game, a ranked game, Kansas versus South Florida. South Florida took, a little bit longer to beat UCF than they thought possible. Well, they have a real test now. Kansas is coming to town, and their Jayhawks are going to be trying to shut down South Florida and prove that they belong in the top 15. On Saturday, there's a bunch of big games on. California gets to travel and really test themselves, traveling across the country to play Maryland. Maryland's not really a great team, but it's just, it's still, they have to travel across the country, so that's going to be a big game for them. East Carolina goes to Tulane, so Alabama had a really rough time with Tulane, and like I said, they would, because Tulane had a lot of motivation from emotions and everything that happened on their side, and Alabama just came off a big win, so they're like, woohoo, we're great, you're not, we're going to kick your ass, and they didn't. So that should be fun. UCLA, my first upset pick, is going to be at Brigham Young, so that's a big test for both of those teams. We got, you know, BYU, who got lucky. They should have had to play overtime. I'm not saying they wouldn't have won in overtime. I'm just saying they should have had to play overtime. Got lucky against Washington, and UCLA had a week off. So they've actually had 2 weeks to prepare. I think Brigham Young is going to have a hard time with UCLA's defense. Not calling an upset because, once again, I think UCLA is better. So I think I fully expect UCLA to win. It's just they're traveling. I can see home field advantage, all those Mormons out there yelling. It could be different. Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's got to wake up. They played Furman 24-7. Neither quarterback performed very well, Tyrod Taylor, Sean Glennon. So Tyrod Taylor's red shirt, out the window, bye-bye, see ya later. And it wasn't really that much of a difference. They didn't play very well on offense. So now they got Georgia Tech and Paul Johnson's wing T in the ACC in 2008, and it's working. So I am not talking about the call. Chopper wants me to talk about the call. I'm not talking about it. It frustrates me. He broke a rule in the rule book. Yes, but they shouldn't have called it. I understand it, and I know there's two sides of every story. The official was not wrong, but it wasn't right either. Then we got, speaking of Washington, they get to bring in Oklahoma, and I see this as a very, very bad, ugly game because Washington just lost that heartbreaker because of a referee's decision to call unsportsmanlike conduct when that win could have been huge for their program. Oklahoma, who is everybody's choice for championship this year because they've just been killing everybody that they play. The only problem is they don't play anybody. So there you go. And then we have the late game on Saturday, Wisconsin at Fresno State. This is my upset special. Upset special. Wisconsin, every year, is the most overrated team in the FBS to me. Football, bowl, series, whatever. That is just crazy. They have P.J. Hill is a great running back, and they are a smash-mouth Michigan-Ohio State, or ex-Michigan-Ohio State. Run the ball, and then run the ball some more, and then maybe we'll play action pass. Fresno State is no joke, and Wisconsin has to go to Fresno State. I think Fresno State's finally going to put themselves on the map this year after playing all those big games. And, of course, we have the blockbuster game of the year, Ohio State at USC. And for everybody that thinks it's going to be close, you need to drink some orange juice and maybe get some vitamins in your system because I think you're suffering from some sort of delusion. Ohio State is a very good team in the Big Ten. They are not a good team nationally. Any team with speed can beat them. And I'm not saying Ohio State is slow. Ohio State has some very fast athletes. But from bottom to top, and I hate USC and everything they represent, are fast. USC is fast from bottom to top, and I cannot see them losing unless Sanchez has just a horrible game. And truthfully, Ohio State's defense is nothing to be scared about. I think with the running backs that the Trojans have, the fact that every single running back that comes in is going to be fresh and has a different style of running, Laurinaitis is probably going to have 25 tackles because he's that good, for one, and it's just him. He has a couple other linebackers that are very good. They have a very good linebacker crew, I will give you that. But they just, I mean, they can't stop a four-headed attack and then worry about a good quarterback with good receivers. Because it's one thing to have a good quarterback and good receivers and good running backs. They have great running backs and good running and good receivers and a good quarterback. So you're going to focus on that running game, and as soon as you put eight in the box, boom, it's done. And Pops is, or no, Chopper is saying that USC should be an NFL expansion team. They're not that fast. First of all, we saw how good Leinart was in college, and he's not even starting in the NFL. I should say about as much as there. The only people that I actually have really respect for in the NFL of the Trojans is defensive players. Everybody that comes over from the offense has not done anything. Mike Smith, or Mike Williams, Dwayne Jarrett, Steve Smith, Reggie Bush is kind of a different type of player that nobody else has because he's such a versatile player that they put and just create mismatches are, which is Florida, which football is. Football is all about mismatches. And no matter how fast or how good a linebacker is in the NFL, strong safety, they can't cover Reggie Bush. You either need a DB or a free safety, or you need to bracket him. Sorry. So everybody that's come from USC, they're great in college. They have not done anything in the NFL. When was the last time a USC person was just great in the NFL? Marcus Allen? No, Marcus Allen was after him. Marcus Allen? Well, OJ, I know OJ was good. Lindell White, I thought Lindell White would be a better pro football running back than Reggie Bush, and he is. It's just I don't know how to put it politely. He's a loser. He's lazy. He doesn't work hard. I think if he ever put his mind to it and stopped smoking out so much, he would probably be a very good running back. But that's college football right there. I got 5 minutes left in my show, so remember my upset. I'm trying to go 3 for 3. Fresno State over Wisconsin. Now the NFL, let's see. I got to find my paperwork. It got all mismatched in here. Oh, it was on the other thing, wasn't it? It was Coach Duncan, on the side of Coach Duncan's interview. Ah, NFL, 5 minutes left. So we're going to go, you know how Chris Berman and Tom Jackson have the fastest 2 minutes of football? Well, I don't have the fastest 2 minutes. I have 4 minutes because I'm not that fast. We have about 10 crap games that nobody cares about. And we have a very intriguing game at 1 o'clock. It's on CBS, Minnesota, and Indianapolis. Both are 0-1, and both have a lot on the line. Indianapolis has to prove that they belong in the playoff race, and Minnesota has to somehow bounce back at home and say, we're decent, because they didn't play that bad against the Packers, except the quarterback. And that quarterback, they say quarterback plays everything. I mean, when you have Adrian Peterson, he only carries the ball 19 times. 19, and he had 107 yards. You got to have something better than an average quarterback playing. I mean, I'm not saying I could go out there and do it, and the only reason I'm saying that is because I'm short. You know, he's athletic. He has a great arm. It's like, does he ever practice full speed at practice, or do they do warm-ups the whole time? All right, then we got New England at the Jets. Oh, man, what a news this week. Brady's down for the season. New England sucks. Well, this happened once before, guys. Bledsoe went down there, but like, oh, God, the Patriots, they're gone. Yeah, Brady came in, and everybody's like, he's the reincarnation of, you know, was it Terry Bradshaw. He just leads the team, you know. He's a very consistent quarterback, very good quarterback, throws the ball, gets his receivers, handoff. He's just, I mean, everything. He was in all everything. He fits the system. They are a system team. Why do you think they won't pay anybody more than $10 million except for Brady and Randy Moss? Because they can get regular people to play in their system because it's all about selfless acts on that team. So that's pretty cool. But now the Jets can see how good they are. Barely beating the Dolphins is not very good. I'm a Dolphin fan, and I know how bad they played. Pennington only knew the offense two or three weeks. So I think the Dolphins are going to be a lot better than they were last year. So thank you, Dolphins, for improving some. San Diego at Denver. Sean Merriman, the idiot, like I called him last week, finally, he's going to have his surgery. So Denver was a big winner. Pittsburgh was a big winner. Now they're going to have to go to Cleveland. That's a big rivalry. Monday Night Football. They finally got it right. Philly at Dallas. Both teams dominated last week, and this should be either a barn burner or a huge defensive battle. Yes, Jessica Simpson talks smack on the Eagles. That almost makes me want to pick the Eagles. But like I said, I could give a crap about the NFL. I just worry about my fantasy football players. So I had Matt Forte. All you people that didn't know that, ha-ha, I did good. Bears trapped all their people. Said, hey, if you're going to have law trouble, I'm just going to get a rookie that's not going to. So everybody out there who listened to the game, thank you. I will talk to everybody next week. Thanks again. Bye.